stretch out, then your skin can bring you so much pain. Now I hear you say, you got the best of both ways. Won't you come and take a walk in my shoes?
Welcome to episode number 167 of the Inside Running Podcast. Thank you for downloading the show for another week. Recording this one on a Sunday, actually. Sunday, January the 10th. Bit different for us, I reckon. Out of our 167 episodes, pretty much all of them, maybe bar one, have been on a Monday night. So a bit of a different vibe tonight, and a bit of a different panel, bringing you a different co-host this week, because Bradley Croker did a 28k tempo run this morning. A bit busted up, I think, from his tempo, and can't make it for this afternoon. But my co-host, as usual, down in Anglesey. Good, I've got to apologise straight up, Moose, because irrelevant. I got my words mixed up last week when I said your 214 was a bit irrelevant, because I really did mean outdated, but it probably isn't outdated anyway, because it is in the Tokyo qualifying period. So welcome to this week's show, and please accept my apology.
Oh, I don't take it to heart, mate.
Well, you were pretty fired up at the time.
Well, I didn't agree with it, but that doesn't mean that I get personally offended by it. Because if I was talking to a 214 guy and I said, "Oh, your time's irrelevant," well, that, like, it's not irrelevant.
I almost feel like you've, like, become fired up at my apology here. Just won't accept it.
No, I'm just straight up no emotion. I'm just saying, spitting facts out.
All right, that's good. And my other co-host this week, she's the fourth fastest 10K runner of all time
irrelevant.
Here in Australia. This is relevant. The seventh fastest over the marathon. You've heard of her before, Ellie Pashley. Welcome to the show. Thanks for filling in for Brad.
No worries, guys. I'm pretty reliable on a Sunday afternoon to not be doing much, so all good.
Yeah, everyone would have been out for long runs this morning. Moose, have you got another run planned?
No, I'm in a down week, okay. So no Sunday after. We're going out for dinner, though, Ali and Jose and Bree and I.
Oh, how good's that? You can spend an hour together on the podcast and go out for dinner together.
Yeah, the other guys, we might just talk about running the whole time.
That'd go to... Just start recapping your weeks at the dinner table.
We spent about 40 hours together this week, so...
Oh, yeah.
Down to my limit, I think.
Came to a head today on the long run, nearly.
Did it. Looking forward to hearing about that. Ali, thanks for filling in for Brad. No pressure there, filling his spot, but do you want to go first on your weekly recap? Expecting a few maybe treadmill runs or anything like that in there?
Yeah, no treadmill runs from me. My week will be pretty similar to Julian's, actually, so this might be a bit boring for everybody, but on Monday morning we just did 12K from the Chocolate Factory in Anglesey. So Jules, Bree and myself, and we did some drills and strides in the car park afterwards, which normally would be in their street, but we thought, oh, we'll go somewhere a bit quieter. But there were about 3,000 people rolling into the Chocolate Factory car park on a Monday morning. So that was good. And then Tuesday I did a session, so I went to Deakin Track. And I had 6x400 meters in 75 seconds with a 600 meter float in around 2:05. Then a little break, and then three laps of 100 meters hard, 100 meters easy. So, yeah, that was. I didn't really know. I wasn't feeling very good Tuesday, to be honest. I felt a little bit tired after the long run on Sunday. So I wasn't too sure how this was going to go, and I did my first one in 75, and then my float was, I think, about right, but I thought I might not be able to hold those floats and then still change pace for the ons. So I actually stopped looking at my watch for the floats, and I thought I'll just try and hit the 75s and then basically float as slow as I need to get my heart rate down a little bit. So they were all pretty good. Close. I think I was 75 or 74 for all of my 400s, and then my floats were 205, 206, 207, 205, 206, 2 minutes. I don't know what happened on the last one.
The final float is always a get the pace down thing.
Yeah. And then I had a little break and put my spikes on, because I've been trying to get used to running in spikes, which is quite challenging for an old heel striker like myself, especially when they don't have a heel in them whatsoever. So I swapped them over, and then I just did 100 on, 100 off. So my 100 ons were pretty pathetic, to be honest. I think they were 16 or 17 seconds each, which, yeah, is not good. But, yeah, that's about all I've got with speed.
Were your ons on the straight or the bend?
On the straight.
Yeah.
Were you not there, Miss?
I work on Tuesday.
Okay.
So the other boys were there. They were doing a different session, though. So this one was just solo.
What's the thinking behind this workout, Moose? Like, why 75s and then why 600 float at that pace? Because is that like 325 pace for the float? Still pretty steady.
Yeah, it's pretty steady still. It's still around threshold. So it's 400 meters at 5K pace, which for this one... 75 seconds is like,
it's 307s, I think. So it's probably a bit faster.
340s or something. Yeah. It's about 1540 or so. So it's probably what you will try to run down the track. Ali's doing the Australian 5K champs, I think. Aren't you, Ali? Like, that's what we're thinking.
Yeah.
So we're going to do some 5K work and then transition to marathon stuff after that for the August marathon. So this is like the first tester of some race pace, but with a float in between. I reckon I've given you a similar session to this, Brady, before, where you're on, but then when you're floating, and then eventually, like, this session will progress where you might end up doing like 800 at race pace with a 400 float. So the floats might get shorter, the ons longer. Basically just extending how long and how the volume and the duration at race pace.
Yeah, I did something similar, but it was 400 on, 200 float, 200 hard, 200 float.
And it's similar.
But they're just pricks of workouts because you never get there's nothing to rest in there. Like, you would have hit a pretty decent 5K split, wouldn't you, Ali, through the 5K?
16...
It was 1640.
Yeah.
1640.
Yeah.
But so I guess the thinking is the 5K is very hard mentally. There's some hurt involved, isn't there? Like, I don't think anyone's got to the 3.5, 4K mark of a 5K and being really comfortable. That's a pretty rare thing. And I find the 5K, it gives you a feeling like that none of the other distances really do. The 3K is kind of over before you feel that distance, and the 10K is not quite on that faster pace as much. And so these type of workouts get you used to working for that total distance without any rest, and you find ways to sort of relax and concentrate, keep focus, work out. It's as much mental training as it is physical, these types of workouts.
Yeah.
And it, a lot of it laps. Was very much like a progressive, it was like each kilometer, so you'd have your 400 on, then your 600 float, it just got a bit harder. So it was like you were turning the screw each time, because the first one I was like, oh, this feels kind of easy, and then it just gets harder and harder and harder. So probably exactly what a 5K feels like, really.
And it was 6K worth, so it was over distance. So you're doing more laps than you would in the race. Eventually, you'll probably end up doing like 3K with most of it at race pace. And then, yeah, you rested, and then you did like the surging work as well. So tick the legs over. Because you will have to deal, like, you're going to be in a competition, and there were going to be moves being made and surges, and I think it's good to be able to change gears, and you have to practice that.
Yeah, and it's definitely my weakness.
What is your 5K PB, Ali?
My actual PB is 16:05.
Yeah, right.
Go on, you know you want to say it.
But I've run faster in 10Ks quite a few times.
Yeah.
So I think in Doha I went through one of my 5K splits was 15:30 something.
Yeah.
And that's the fastest 5K I've ever run, but that was within the 10K.
So if you're on a 5K instead of a 10K that night, you might have run like 15:10.
Oh no, I don't. I wouldn't have run 15:10 because to me, I just feel like I don't have that even a few seconds per K faster. Okay. I just can't. It's yeah. I don't know what it is. I find it very uncomfortable to run any faster than 10K pace, basically, which might be partly that I'm not used to it and I haven't raced 5Ks enough, but yeah, I'm definitely
trained for it, really. That's why it's exciting for this race in, what is it, April or March?
Yeah, I don't find it exciting at all. I find it, like, extremely intimidating, but I also know that it's good for me to do it, so I'm just going to put myself in as many of these uncomfortable 5K races as I can to practice.
Yeah.
So is it just speed development or you're thinking you'll try qualify in the 5, 10 and the marathon?
Oh, no, not at all. No. I've got no hope of trying to qualify in the 5K. It's basically just trying to get better at running track, trying to get a little bit faster. It's more for the 10K, I guess, long term. And yeah, we don't know what's going to happen with the Olympics. Like I don't even... You know, I could get knocked out of both events, but I need to sort of be prepared to be able to do either event. So I'm trying to get as fast as I can now, and then, yeah, we'll see what happens as the year goes on.
What's the communication looking like with the Olympics? Like, I think Japan had their biggest day of COVID cases yesterday. Like, are you guys getting updates from Athletics Australia or anything like that about what might potentially happen?
Yeah, we're getting pretty regular emails from the AOC, and that is all really positive. So basically they're saying that it's happening no matter what. There's just different scenarios that are being, planned for, depending on the vaccine, depending on case numbers in Japan at the time. So basically, yeah, whether they have spectators, no spectators, how many spectators they think they can safely have without increasing transmission too much. So they're trying all different things, but, you know, it might be a bit of a different... Well, it's definitely going to be a different sort of Olympics to what they've ever had before, but they're very confident that they're going to run it no matter what.
Ah, good. There will be an Olympics, yeah.
Well, yeah, hopefully. That's what
Ali said, there's going to be an Olympics.
That's what my emails are saying, so I don't know. We just have to, you know, tell ourselves that it's happening and then, yeah, hope that it does.
Mm. Anyway, that was Tuesday.
Yep. Tuesday afternoon, I just ran 6K out the back of Aries on Distillery Creek Road. So 4:40s, nice and cruisy. Wednesday morning, I ran with Jared and we met at the Chocolate Factory again and we did a 15K loop sort of along the ridge that's pretty flat between Anglesey and Torquay. And I've called it pep talks for the big guy, so... I think Jared needed a bit of a boost that day. He was down on his confidence and I was also giving him a fair bit of grief about getting his tight hammy and hips sorted, which sort of came to a bit of a halt on Friday. But yeah, that was Wednesday. Thursday I did 16K from home. So as I was running out from my house towards Distillery Creek Road, I saw the grader coming back. And I was like, oh, yes, I wonder if they've just graded it. So the dirt roads around here are pretty good surface, but in summer they get a bit corrugated. And, sure enough, I got out there and it had just been graded and it was the most beautiful condition gravel you've ever seen. So that was quite an enjoyable one. And then I had a bit of – I was going to do – I think I normally do surges on a Thursday, but I had a bit of a swollen knee, which I think – I think it's just like a fat pad thing. I had a bit of a sore ITB earlier in the week and then it swelled up a bit, but I think it's just from hills and track and probably sort of ramping up my load a bit the last couple of weeks. So I decided to not do the change of pace stuff. And then that afternoon I met Lizzie Kerno and we parked at the Currawong Falls car park and did another gravel road run out Distillery Creek Road with the dogs. She's got a Kelpie as well, so her dog and my dog were sprinting up and down the road barking at each other, which would have been highly annoying to anyone else around, but luckily there was no one around. Friday morning a session at Eastern Gardens. So I did a fartlek. We did a 4K warm-up, and then my session was 3 by 3 minutes on, 2 minutes float, 4 by 2 minutes on, 90 seconds float, 5 by 30 seconds on, 60 seconds float. So that was 10.4 Ks, averaging about 3:32s. So the idea, I guess, with that was not to go all out for the ons, but basically, yes, steady to hard, and then again for the floats, back off as much as I needed to get my heart rate down a little bit, and then sort of change pace again. So that was quite a fun one. The Eastern Gardens loop's about 2.2K with a few sort of rolling hills. We just did it on the gravel, and the other boys were doing a tempo at the same time. Saturday morning, I ran Friday night with Jules again. So same thing, we just did a out and back on Distillery Creek Road. He was yelling at me the whole time to slow down, even though he was running half a step in front of me. So 4:33s, and it was pretty warm actually, and we were both a little bit cooked from the morning. So I think we we were a bit tired by the end of that one. And then Saturday morning, I just met Lockie Doak and Jordan Karras, one of his friends, and we did a loop around Aries. So 14.5 Ks at 4:50s, a bit of trail, gravel roads, and then a little bit on the Great Ocean Road at the end. And this morning we did a long run. So we met at Point Addis and did, I had 30K, so made a loop that was about 20K first, so that people could drop off, and then some of the guys were doing a longer long run because they're starting to train for Hobart Marathon. So we went back to the cars so they could then get drinks and gels if they needed to, and then there was another loop to add on from there. We had about 900 meters of beach on the loop, and boy, did I hear about it, like pack of whinges.
It wasn't a normal beach, was it, Ellie? Explain.
Yeah, it is a hard beach to run on. I'll agree
with
that. It's
45 degree camber. Is like the softest, deepest, shittest sand that you'll ever run on. And you're basically running with 1 foot, a foot lower than the other leg. So you're on this ridiculous, like, unstable platform, and then you have all the then you have the dry, like soggy, it's just terrible surface. And
yeah, it's a shit.
You knew it was like that, and everyone complained about it. I was just the one with the loudest voice, that's all.
You are the biggest winder of all.
I'm the voice of the people. I could see everyone else around going, this is fucked, what are we doing? And I'm like, yeah, I better tell Ali this is a shit run, and this
I better
is a shit
tell
loop.
Ali 80 times the 900 meter stretch of beach, how shit this is. But never the thing is, you need to do that section of beach to get like the best bit of the trail.
Well,
so
not really.
Every now and then, you just have to do it.
You can go down the road on Point Addis to the end, and then come back on the trail. You could though.
No one cares if you don't live down there, though, guys. About this kind of detail. There's a photo on Grant Simpson's Strava here.
Fight for the whole long run, so
you're all smiling and happy. Moose, you got the shirt off. Looks like you've been tanning flat out for the last 3.5 weeks, by the looks of things.
That's just my natural glow.
Right, yeah. Hey,
have a look at Blake Oz's shit rib in front of me. Yeah. He looks like a skeleton with just skin hanging off him.
Anyway.
Blake Oz is the only non-complainer this morning.
That's not impressive at all. No, it's a good group though this morning. And you can see, you can actually see the angle of that beach, right?
Mm.
In that photo. Grant Simpson's going to get some followers.
What about the snake next to it in that photo?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't see that. Tiger snake?
Yeah, tiger. So coming down. Did you not see it?
I didn't see it. I must have run over it.
Yeah, I think Matt Gunther nearly stepped on it. So we were running down towards Point Addis Beach. There's just a track that you walk down, and I didn't realize how big it was because I think I only saw the front end of it, but yeah, it was a decent sized tiger snake. So it's that time of year. It was such a snaky morning. It was warm, sunny, just, yeah.
You get bitten by one of those, like you're in trouble?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if your heart rate's 170 from just running on the beach for 900 metres. But, I mean, there you're close to a car park and there'd be heaps of people with phones that you could get to call an ambulance for you. So it's probably better getting bitten by a snake there than in the middle of the bush by yourself. But
So how far do you have? 30K.
Do you have tiger snakes up at the river?
Nah, just browns. Browns and red bellies up here.
Oh, yeah, Jules and I saw a red belly actually as well on our run on
Friday night.
Was it? Or Friday night, yeah.
Friday night, yeah.
A dead baby red.
Still scary, though, funnily enough. Even a dead snake still freaks me out.
We were too scared to kick it with our shoes.
It was squashed like 3 inches into the dirt and we still wouldn't touch it.
Sal, you did 30K, that's right, 433s.
Yeah, 30K, 433s, and I think it was about 470 metres of climbing or so, and that was 141Ks for the week.
Good work. How come you only did 26, Moose?
I had a couple of big weeks beforehand.
That was planned, so, yep.
Yeah, planned for me. It was nice, actually, to have a lighter week.
Take us through Monday.
Excuse me. We already heard Monday, Ali told you. So same as Ali there at the Chocolate Factory. Tuesday morning, woke up and just ran around Anglesey, pouring rain. This is weird, like in January, early in January, it was just pouring rain. I wore a jacket, half tights, like it was just not a real summer's day. And all the trails have just gone to marsh, really. So I had some trail shoes on just for the local loop around town. That arvo, it seemed to sort of improve a little bit, the weather. I got out and did a fartlek in Vic Park. So the fartlek was 4x2 minutes hard, 1 minute jog, 1 minute hard, 1 minute jog, 30 second hard, 30 second jog. So four sets of that. It was quite fun. I like this one. At no point did you ever really get yourself in any holes or put yourself in trouble because you had a minute jog after it. And 30 seconds, a minute, 2 minutes wasn't really long enough to fully smash yourself. I say that, but the guy I was running with, Tony, did actually dig himself into an enormous hole trying to keep up with me, and he blew up hugely. But yeah, so the 2 minutes I did at 257, 3 minutes, 254 pace, and 254. The minutes were at 254, 248, 253, and the 30 seconds were at 244, 241, and 243. So I was quite happy with the pace that I ended up getting into on the repeats, and it all up, I think overview 7.24k at 3:19s. So not like crazy pace, because I had like an equal amount of jogging nearly in there, and the jogging was jogging, so it was a pretty good little workout. I thought it was fun. It's good for a down week, like where I wasn't trying to smash myself. So yeah, kudos to Ali. She came up with that one. Trying to work. I told Tony during the second set when he was staying with me, I said, if you can hang with me, Tony, I'll let you name this fartlek for Strava. And within like 25 seconds, he was gone. So I was generous, because the other side of the bet was that I got to make it like a derogatory name about Tony. But I didn't do that because I felt bad, because Tony is a workhorse. I like him. Anyway, that was a workout.
Pretty impressive by him keeping up with you for that long, even.
For two repeats, that's what I said. He was so hard on himself after it. So two sets worth, he stayed with me, I think. Maybe not quite two sets. But he was so hard on himself afterwards, and he's a footy player.
Hang on. Like, shit. Yeah. Who is Tony? Give us some context here.
Tony's a footy player in Ballarat. He captained the North Ballarat Roosters for in the VFL competition, and he's quite a good runner. His old man Brian Lockyer used to get around the Ballarat scene. And he's the guy who ran that marathon around with the two brothers back in.
About this guy.
Tony's been
around. And he also, he ran 15:40 something a couple of weeks ago at the time trial with us for 5K, and he's gone out and he's running 2:57s for the 2-minute reps, 2:54, 2:43, like under 3-minute Ks, which is way under his 5K. Yeah.
He could get two sets out, but it did go backwards. He had to have a bit of a stop, I think, in the third repeat. Anyway. Yeah,
by the end, his 30-second efforts were 3:30s.
Full uncooked it. I was sort of thinking as I was doing this workout, I'm like, fuck me, I can't even beat a footballer. I'm not going that well. And then all of a sudden I beat a footballer, and I was happy about that. Little wins. Next morning ran 12, pretty cruisy along the trail with Tony again. Tony's got this thing where he says good morning to everyone, and he tries to get a response out of every single person. So we had 100% success rate until the last person we went past, when he just reached too far and there was someone maybe like 20 meters away, and he sort of called out, good morning, and they just ignored him. So he was disappointed. Ali, what about your run where you ran past a guy on your run out in Aries, and you said hello and you got zero back, and then he commented on your run afterwards. That's a bit odd.
Scared.
Yeah.
Went to water.
Then he tagged you in, Brady.
Yeah, Daniel, I saw that comment actually.
Yeah. So so it's okay to say hello in person when you're on a trail. You're allowed to do that.
Yeah, we like hellos down here.
Yeah.
He's from Melbourne though, Daniel.
You can tell who is and who isn't.
Yeah, I try very hard to say hello to everyone that I run past, and it's fascinating at the moment too, with so many Melbourne people in town, how few say hello back.
If you're in the bush though, literally like you were in the bush and there's no one around and you see one single runner coming towards you, like that's just, it's actually hard not to say hello. Like it goes against every...
Makes it weirder.
Yeah, it goes against every natural thing in your body to ignore that person.
Especially when they turn their heads and look into the bush as if they're looking for something as far away from you as possible to avoid saying hello.
Oh, well.
Great.
So that Arvo I ran back in Anglesey, 7K, and next morning, 14, started to feel good. Did a workout on the Friday morning, so I went to the same Eastern Gardens loop, 4 laps progressively faster. So I didn't, well, Ali actually didn't give me a guide for this, did you, Ali? I had to come up with my own pace guide for this one.
Tell them what you said you were going to run.
Well, you're the coach. I was looking for some direction, and so I just made up my own paces. I said, oh, how about if I go 3:20, 3:15, 3:10, 3:05?
And then I laughed in his face. And said, that's a bit ambitious. There's no way you'll run 3:05 on the last.
Yeah, and I probably hurt myself by running the first lap in 3:17s, I think it is. 3:17? 3:18s, 3:17. Second lap in 3:14. The third lap, I kind of knew I was never going to hit 3:05s for the last. I ran that in 3:11s. And then the last was in 3:08s. However, I think at about like with 1K to go, when you hit this big hill, I was on like 3:02 pace. And I thought, oh, can I hang on to this up the hill? I just really want to say I told you so to Ali, but it was not possible. My heart rate was going through the roof and I was just lucky to get it done. But that's it.
Still like, a good progression though.
Yeah,
it's hard to do on that loop.
It is, and I like that 3:11 lap, the third lap, was probably hard enough, really, considering 1 week before this we did a threshold at 309s. So to cut down below threshold for like a 7 minute block at the end was pretty tough, and I felt it. So it was a bit of a, it was a good workout. It's kind of got warm. Nice training around the gardens there. I like it. It's good hills. Like, your workouts never look great on paper, but you get some good climbing. So that was that evening. Yeah, we ran in the bush. And then next morning, woke up early, ran around Anglesey. Good to get in the sunrise. 6 o'clock, I was out the door. I don't see a lot of sunrises anymore. So it's nice to be up and just cruise. So 4:50s was my pace. That didn't feel slow either. That was plenty fast enough for me. And yeah, today ran 26 with a good group out at Point Addis, and did a bit of beach running too, which was shit. But that was my week. So 127K, ready for race week this week.
Yeah, freshening right up. What's he going to run, coach? 5K, Big Moose.
Ooh. I reckon he's going to run 14:30.
That's what he thinks he's going to run.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he told me 14:30 shape is in.
On a good day. I said on a good day.
Yeah, he's getting fit.
It depends on the race too. It's a race, it's not a time trial.
Yeah. Are you going to have pacemakers for the 5K?
Don't think so. I think anyone willing to pace at that pace is going to be in the race.
Andy running? Andy Buchanan?
He was still thinking about it. Yeah, he hasn't entered, but he said, if you're going to be the one who wins the race, I hope he doesn't mind me sharing these stories, he will enter the race and win it.
He told me that as well.
Did he? Yeah, oh, that's good. Yeah. So, your favourite, this, we might talk about that in what's coming up at the end there.
Who the fuck says he's going to win it? He's not that good that Andy. He can just say he's going to win it. I've got Archie Reed beating Andy.
Those two trained together actually on the track on Friday. Pretty impressive seeing those two fellas together.
Yeah, and I heard whispers that Andy went to the well and Archie just laid off a little, like an actual smart human, and Andy just sort of had to dip deep just to show him who was boss.
Just try to drop him the whole session, and Archie is stuck to him like glue. Who told you those whispers?
Oh, I know.
What's Archie going to run, Brady?
Don't know. He could run anything.
You're the coach, mate. Tell us.
Ask me this time, or not next week, because the race will be over. He's been working really hard. If he, because I think he's only averaged like 60K for the last month, a week.
Really?
Yeah, but he's still been doing one workout in a long run. But yeah, some weeks he's only ran 3 days a week. He's working like 70-hour weeks. Like, he didn't finish last night until 9. Got out for 20 minutes, and then he's pretty much in charge of the business. Well, not in charge of the business, in charge of running the shop. So
he could give you a job.
He could give me a job. I'm a bit. I need to win some prize money actually. Friday night, school teachers, no work this time of the year. Starting to dry up a bit.
Too.
Yeah, I'll be there. Yeah, yep. Hopefully, I'll get around. Might be half a lap behind you.
I think so.
We'll see how we go.
You won't.
See how we go. Yeah, his last 3 weeks, he's done 6 hours, 6 hours, 5 hours, 58 minutes. But that's all right. He holds on to fitness pretty well though. So he hasn't been over. Just looking at his trainer now. And that's why it was impressive that he trained with Andy on Friday. Yeah. His last good. 5 weeks, he's done 94K, 13K, 70K, 80K, and then 90K. But still.
He'll be fine.
You got to watch young bloods like that. They just, they hold on to fitness all right. And he's still been dominating the session every week. I went through my week though, Monday, start of the week off, I did 70 minutes. Pretty easy off the back of the long run, just open it up now, like 4:30 average, I think it was 4:35 average. Tuesday, just been doing singles every day other than one. Just, it's been hot and I just didn't want to like just progress things kind of gently, and I hate doing doubles in summer. Tuesday I did a workout. It was like a weak version of Moose Fartlek. I did a K at threshold, 90 seconds jog, and then 500 meters hard, 90 seconds jog times 6. Did the 1K as in about 3:07 average, and then the 500s around like 2:48, 2:50 pace, and yeah, really enjoyed it.
That's a good session.
Yeah, it was the first time I've run under like 3 minute K pace for probably a month. Initially when I wrote it down, I was going to have 2 minutes recovery, but then after the first like one, I was just like, nah, 90 seconds is enough here, and felt that I recovered pretty well. So yeah, it was good and felt in control throughout, and still kind of plenty of running towards the end of it. And it's probably because you do 5 sets of Moose Fartlek, whereas I did 6, but then had a bit more recovery time just to bounce back in between the sets. So all up, it was like 12.7K at 3:27 pace. Got a lot of confidence from that one, actually. Got out for half an hour in the afternoon at 4:35 pace. Wednesday, just 70 minutes recovery at 4:35 pace. Nice and easy. Thursday, a medium long run. Just got out for 85 minutes, 4:32s. Been going back and listening to like old Hamish and Andy episodes. Forgot how funny those guys are. Just so easy to pass the time putting one of those episodes in. Just running along, having a bit of a chuckle. And then,
like when they were on the radio.
Oh, no, this is just like episodes, because they just do like a weekly podcast now, and it's just like episodes that they did like 6 months ago that I just like haven't listened to in ages. Well, I haven't listened to them at all, and I'm going back and listening to them. Does that make sense? That was the first podcast I ever listened to. Like, remember when they just used
to... Yeah, that was pretty early to the podcast game, weren't they?
Well, they just put their radio show onto a podcast.
Yeah.
So, like, and it, like, we didn't have that radio station up here in Echuca, so that was the only way you could kind of listen to them.
Yeah.
So...
Is it called the Hamish and Andy Show?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And that that Hawgs guy, you know, their friend Hawgs that they call? He's a cracker, yeah. And like Jack, they just got the best dynamics. Then Friday, this is the workout I was talking about before. We went to Bendigo. We had about 20 of us, I reckon, on the track. Heaps of kids. Andy Buchanan, all these kids just flocked to him in Bendigo. So they all rocked up. Glenn, Archie, and I went down. Jack from Shepparton drove over. So, yeah, a really good bunch. My plan initially was to do 2 sets of 8 to 10 400s in about 69-70. I just wanted to get on the track, kind of work it close to that 250 kind of 255K pace, but do a whole lot of reps and just get a feel for the corners, maybe do a few of them in the spikes. Didn't want to go too fast to kind of test the hammy too much. Like, I didn't see much value in jumping on and running 65s or 64s, so I just wanted to keep them pretty controlled. But then didn't quite happen like that. Andy was doing this workout with Archie, and they were doing a 2K, what was it, Andy's half marathon pace to start off with, so 3 minute K pace just to warm up into the session. So I thought it'd be a good indication of my fitness if I jump into that, put the spikes on, jump into that, see if I can get around in 6 minutes and just see how it felt. And I did, got around in like, 5:59, felt good. We kind of shared the laps a bit, and then I changed back into the next percent, kind of got out of the spikes, and then jumped in with Glenn, who was doing a similar workout to what I had planned. So all kind of 400s, did 3 400s with him off a minute. And then he had his lap jog in between the 2 sets, and I thought I'd just kind of keep going. Did my fourth 400, and as I was coming through the finish line, some kids were about to start a 400, and then I kind of yelled out to them what pace they were kind of going, and they said 70, so I said, I'll pace you through 70. So my 400 turned into an 800, and then just as I was finishing the 800, Archie and Andy were starting their mile that they were doing at kind of 70, 72 pace as well. So then I just jumped in with them for another couple of laps. So it was interesting that that mind space around, like, you think you're doing one lap, and then all of a sudden you've done 4, but you can hang on, no worries. It's just that you just got to control your mind and just kind of stay in the pack. Anyway, then I finished that mile, and then Glenn was back doing 400s, and he had 20 seconds till he was about to start his next one. So I had a quick breather, and then jumped in, and I did 9 400s after that at about 68, 69 pace off a minute, and all felt good. I was, it was good to be on the track, heaps of good people around. It's good to kind of jump in and out with other people and kind of help them out and have people help you out as well. Then we cooled down. A lot of discussion in the group about how to outkick Moose in a track 5K race, actually. Just a couple of
how to outkick him.
Shouldn't be too difficult.
Yeah, that was the thing. We just got a lot of talk about what he'll try to do to like some of these sub elite boys on Friday night. So just a couple of different scenarios, what may happen. 12K.
They realize I'm a 34-year-old old marathoner. What the fuck are they worried about me in a 5K on the track?
Nah, because you look at this start list and it's just like you're an Australian representative, and then you've just got all these sub elite boys just trying to have a crack at the big dog.
This is not where my specialty is.
Someone commented on Instagram saying they should just give you the prize money already.
All right, well, I'm up for that if you guys are.
I want to see a good race out of it. Yeah, easy Saturday, 440s, and then we did 2 hours today. Hot up here again, 28K, 420 pace. I think I did 136 for the week. Yeah, looking forward to jumping on the track again on our Friday night, which should be good down there.
Sounds like you went to footy training, not to a track workout.
Yeah, it was a bit like that. Someone even commented on my I put like the session up on Instagram, and someone's like, "Oh, good to see Moose has given you like a Nick Bedeau style session." And I'm just like, Moose didn't give me that, and I just made it up as I went.
It was very confusing, the 2K, then the 3 400s, then the 1 mile, then the 9 400s, especially when you were going in to do 8 to 10 400s.
Yeah, I wanted to do two sets of 8 to 10. So I would have been happy with 2 400s at 69.70, and I ended up with 21 400s. Some of them were miles and 2Ks, but I still did 21 laps of the track. And I didn't actually know, I forgot, I was losing count and stuff, so I just kind of did them until I thought that was enough for the day without kind of like overreaching. So
That is like the anti-Brady trail form.
Usually I just fang it.
No, usually you're like so obsessed with everything that you would never just go and just wing it and just do as many until you couldn't do any more or until it felt right.
Yeah, do you think it's something though when you're coming back a bit? And it's, you kind of, like my purpose was to just really just get a feel for the track, and I really didn't mind how I was going to do that. So to be able to help out some other kids here and there or have some company with Andy and Archie for a few reps, you kind of just, you prioritise that rather than being so like in your ways and just... specific, I suppose.
Yeah,
that's good.
And when you're the third or fourth best runner there, you kind of have to do their session anyway.
Well, I was in the B group for most of the sessions. So and then here these boys are like, they were peeling off like 58, 59s at the end there, which just looks completely different when you're seeing people do 70s all day. Anyway,
it's a high volume track workout though.
Yeah, it was probably 8K worth of work at, I don't know, 250K pace, but a lot of big, minute kind of rest in there. But, yeah, felt good. Hopefully I can run under 15 minutes Friday night, get a 14-something next to my name, go from there.
Mate, tell me, you say that, but I know you're taking the piss. You're not going to go out running 72s, are you?
Oh, yeah, why not? I'd be happy with, this is just to get one on the board.
You're going to go out with the pack.
With the lead pack. Depends how fast they go out.
If the lead pack goes out and runs 68, are you going to go and run a 68?
Yeah, I'll go off that. Just hit the back of that.
So enough of this 15-minute shit. You're not going to run 15 minutes. Save that for old beat-up hacks like Croker. You're going to run at least 14:40, at least.
Well, I haven't done a lot of work, Moose. I would take 14:40 if you think you're going to run 14:30. Like, I'd say my last 8 weeks I would have averaged, like, maybe 100K a week.
More than that. You've had... Your last 4 weeks have all been, like, 130 or so, haven't they?
Yeah. They've been...
You'll be fine. You'll be running well. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
14:40 is also not great, really. You've run 220, whatever. 219. You broke that, right?
I've run 14:09. That would have been the good time to compare it to.
And you're talking about 15 minutes. Like, 14:40 is going to be easy for you.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Hopefully that's the case. Let's thank some Patreon supporters, Moose.
All right, I'll start. Petra Irby. Petra is from Cammeray in New South Wales. Petra sounds like a lady. Would you agree?
Yeah, she is. Saw a photo of her.
Yeah.
My boss's name used to be Petra, principal, Petra, I think. Yeah.
21:24 at the Willoughby Park Run, 45:08 at Sydney Harbour 10K, 1:36 at Blackmores, and 3:25 at the Adelaide Marathon. Strava display photo with Jamie Oliver. Both dressed up in formal wear. Could be something in that. Trying to get a start at Berlin and Boston. Yeah, well... that's tough, isn't it? Getting those starts, and even if you do get a start, the race probably won't start. It's frustrating. The way that Europe and the US is going, like, there is not going to be any marathons this year either.
this was an article written on her before COVID as well. I think she was trying to aim for those like good for age times or whatever
the qualifiers.
Yeah, it was on like a personal training website.
All right.
Petra's been going there. Can't remember the name of it. Thanks, Petra, for your support. Love to know the story about Jamie Oliver. If you want to send in a bit of a description about that, be good to hear. Sam Blake, I'm going to thank you from Queensland. Karuparu. Do you reckon I got that right?
Corporu.
You heard of it?
No.
Neither have I. May have signed up to Patreon as a gift, I reckon, from his wife or sister, Alexandra Blake. That was the email address attached to that one. Maybe history in triathlon. Found a 15:15 for 5K from him, 34:56 at Albert Park 10K back in 2006. Dean, his mates were Zacha Newman, actually. Zacha said he knew him. Did have some stuff written in there about maybe going to college overseas. Not sure if that's right, though. Maybe went to a private school. A few photos of like blazers and ties back in his school's days. Looks like he's a bit of a mad snake these days, and Zacha testifies to some of those stories. So thanks for your support, Sam Blake.
What's the story?
Oh, nah, probably can't repeat them on air, Moose. Just hit up,
oh, really?
Hit up Zacha if you want some stories about Sam Blake, yeah. Real mad snake, I think. Bit of a party boy. Don't know. Also, right. I'm going to thank Lewis. Just signed up as Lewis. No last name. Maybe Lewis Cruzo. C-R-U-Z-E. Joined Patreon in 2020. That's all I've got on him. Lewis, you know who you are. Thank you for your Patreon support.
Thank you, Lewis.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, I was trying to talk me mate. I had dinner with a mate the other day and tried to talk him into signing up to Patreon. He said, why would I sign up when I can listen to it for free? And I'm like, mate, I said, how many episodes you listen to? He goes, yeah, all of them. And there he is drinking like $8 schooners. And I'm like, one of those schooners could support us for a month and then that's it. Anyway, a bit cheap.
How did he reply to that?
Yeah, he said, oh, I'll get around to it or something. And I'm like, yeah, right, yeah. And then I go, you realise you've got to listen to like the ads if you don't pay for it. And he goes, no, I've never heard an ad. And I'm like, you know, sometimes at the start of the episode when I say this episode's brought to you by New Balance, yada, yada, yada. He's like, oh, is that an ad? And I'm like, yeah.
We better invoice New Balance for that.
Yeah, New Balance might invoice us for having Ali on the show.
Nah.
Break even.
Yeah.
This is good for her career.
I'll invoice you guys.
Yeah, all right. Canberra runner news, Canberra 5K. Did you watch the stream, anyone?
No.
No, I forgot it was on, actually.
I watched it on a replay this morning. Cool event. Like, around that crit course, looked pretty fun. Looks pretty technical. Like, the times probably indicate those. Official times aren't out yet, but this is what I'm going off from stuff I could grab from Strava and then guessing, like, the time gap between the different people. Men's race, I went out pretty quick and then broke into three or four later in the race. A few names here not that familiar with. I know Brad was talking about Callum McCloskey last week. It was a mixed race as well, so the men and women were together. Callum, ex-triathlete, he ran 14:31. Josh Johnson.
Ex-triathlete, so he stopped triathloning.
Oh, actually, I think he's still a triathlete. He hasn't converted to running, has he?
I've got no idea.
I don't think so. Because someone commented on the stream saying he's ridden 5 hours in the last like 3 days as well before this race. So it was going in pretty heavy. 14:31. Josh Johnson was second, 14:36. Sam Byrne was third in 14:40. Don't know, I've heard Josh Johnson a lot, but I hadn't heard Sam's name before either. So some depth up there in Canberra. Keely Small won the women's, 16:05. Leanne Pompeani was second in around about 16:18, I reckon it was, when she crossed the line. Cool event. Stream was good. Commentary was good. They did have like, I'm going to say like 15 kangaroos just like go straight through the course at one stage. You see that photo I sent you today, Moose?
Yeah, I saw the photo.
Oh, that would go viral internationally.
Yeah. Sums up Australia really well. It's just, and they're like, well, full on, like jumping on the road, like cutting across people and stuff. That was pretty random to see. But yeah, cool event. And well done to the guys up there for putting it on. We did have an inside running singlet, a Steigen one, getting around that A race as well. Not sure who it was, but thanks for buying a singlet and getting it out there. It's always good to see some of the merch getting around.
Could have been Ash Hoffman.
No, Ash was in black.
Oh, yeah. I would have thought he would prefer this singlet to the Aubrey Track Club singlets that he had made that are a little poxy. But
what's wrong with them? They're black and got the little logo on the left-hand side.
They just went the cheap option. They went the cheap option up there, unfortunately. And then they had these hats made in, like, you know, the ones you buy from the servo? the black trucker styles, and they got like a logo on it. The logo looks good though.
Yeah, the logo looks good. It's an A or something, isn't it, for Aubrey?
It's like, there's a is it Tower the Hill, Ali? Or Monument
Hill.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've incorporated that into it.
Oh, that's cool.
It's pretty good stuff. Famous
landmark in Aubrey.
That's where Nail Can Hill goes, doesn't it, up that hill?
Yeah, it does, yep. It goes over Monument Hill at the end. It sort of finishes near there because it's right in town. They actually used to have a race there back when I was a kid called the Dash for Cash, where you had to run from the main street up to the top of Monument, which is a brutal climb. It's about a K or a K and a half straight up and then straight back down into the main street. And they used to have huge cash prizes, like $5,000 or $10,000 or something. I can't remember. But yeah.
Yeah, right. Who used to win it? Like, did Deacon that come down from Canberra?
I don't remember. I don't really remember who used to win it, to be honest. There was a lady in Aubrey that was a really good triathlete. She often used to win the women's, and I can't remember
what was her name.
Her name was Julie Golan Ford.
No.
I think, I don't know. Maybe in years before that they did, and then they had to stop running it because I think it was costing them too much to close the main street. The council, you know how that happens in a lot of these local fun runs. It just costs too much.
Yeah.
Which is a real shame because it was a fun event. They used to have a cycling crit race up and down the main street as well, and like a few different events. But
A lot of races have gone away because of that stuff, haven't they? Like, I remember in Bendigo we used to have one where you'd race the tram from like one end of Bendigo to the other. It would have been like 5 or 6K as a kid. I remember my dad and stuff doing it. I wish it was around now because it would have been so much fun. But it would have cost heaps to close those roads these days.
Yeah. It's just a shame because it would bring – something like that would bring people to the town too. So, I don't know. I don't know how it all works, but,
Moosh, you want to tell me about the –
I like the idea of this 5K, like the Canberra one. It's good that people are sort of thinking of different ways to do things.
Yeah.
Track, road race.
Yeah, that's good stuff, isn't it? And then just like – especially like closed off areas, like crit tracks as well, so you can avoid that kind of problem with the council.
Yeah.
Moosh, you want to tell me about your mate Nick Earl winning the state 10K champs down in Tassie?
Yeah, he did. He did win this race. I was surprised actually, because Sam Clifford is a much better runner than Nick. So when Nick won, I was like, "Oh, what's happened here? Did Sam fall over?" So I don't know. I didn't watch the race. It just surprised me to see that result.
I think Nick Strava said that the others couldn't hack the heat or something.
Yeah. I don't follow him on Strava. I wouldn't know. But maybe I...
You do so.
No, I don't. I think I must have seen a Facebook post. He often likes to talk himself up on multiple platforms, whether it's social, like Facebook or Instagram, whatever.
Give us the result, Moose. Just give us the result.
So he won in 30:59, and Sam Clifford was second in 31:42. So it's quite a big margin, really, 43 seconds. So Nick is back just under the 31-minute mark, so probably won't get him to Zetapec, but state champion nonetheless. In the ladies' race, Vanessa Wilson won. Looks like Vanessa might be holidaying from Victoria because she ran 36:59, and she's marked as a Victorian here. As far as I can tell.
Yeah, and only women finisher as well.
Oh, that's why? Because I've made a mark here, like, why don't we have any women's results?
Yeah, Miriam Daly was there, but did not finish.
Yeah, right, okay. Because I thought that she had run a 5K maybe the same day.
Yeah, I think that maybe might have been like Thursday or something, because I think Nick Earl actually might have paced her in that.
Well, that's where I saw it again. Yeah, I saw it there.
Or Nick Earl Strava that you don't follow?
No, it was another Instagram thing. Okay. For some reason, all his bullshit pops up on my feed. It's quite frustrating.
The algorithm's got you worked out. Any other runner results? They're the only two I could find. You two got anything?
Let me think.
What happened to all those races down your way at the moment? Like, are they just all being cancelled?
Yeah. All cancelled, yeah. Jeez, it's such a shame. They're so much fun. There's like a heap of 8K fun runs on, mostly on trails, aren't they?
Just from the surf clubs and stuff.
Yeah, but none of them are happening, unfortunately.
It's good. It's actually good fundraising, like the the Roo Run in Anglesey for the yacht club. Is it Lawn Surf Club do the Mountain to Surf, and then Torquay Surf Club or Jandruk do the Bells Bash, and then Ocean Grove do the Rip to River. There's just it is good fundraising for the local towns.
They must have just missed it though, because Park Run's back this weekend coming.
Yeah, they must have. But also remember, they're all volunteers squads that do this, and so it's quite stressful and frustrating. Like it's. I'm not sure whether you're going to find too many volunteers put their hand up to try to put on an event through COVID times.
Yeah.
There'd be a lot of pressure. There'd be a lot of worry. You don't want to be the event that puts it on where there's a case and it just fucking spreads. Like, who wants to be that event? So I don't blame them, to be honest.
Mm. Listener question. Ali, do you want to read this out? Phil Bradshaw's
here. Yep. Hey, fellas. Hope everyone is staying safe during COVID. Here's a little listener question that might be a bit different to some of the other ones you've had before. Obviously, running is a huge part in all three of your lives. In what way has it had an effect on your working careers, such as transferable skills you have found useful in making you more successful in the workplace? Also, maybe a time where each of you had a career crisis, or maybe were at a professional crossroads where running helped guide you in a new direction? I feel a lot of listeners in early adulthood and even beyond may benefit from hearing insight on this topic, especially during the economic stress that COVID-19 is bringing to many industries all around the world. Cheers, guys. Hope all is well. Sam Agnew.
Sam, over in Canada. Canadian listener. Yeah. Probably the only one we've got over there, I reckon.
No, our boy Luke Steer listens. Let's not forget him.
He's in Canada, is he?
Big time listener.
Okay.
Makes fun of you all the time in personal messages to me.
He's not the one that does all the memes, is he?
Oh, perhaps he is. Perhaps he is.
Thanks for listening, Luke. Appreciate the digs at me behind my back.
This is a good question. There's a lot of different questions within this question. So I'm just going to pick one of them out and answer it. I reckon running, how it's taught me... not taught me, but how it's helped me in my working career. It's more about managing stress. Is like I've used running and the ups and downs, the ebbs and flows, and the roller coaster of being fit, unfit, being injured, going through bad patches, having really good patches. That sort of roller coaster and having to deal with the. All the emotions that go with it. It's very much like owning a business, because like we go through patches where we're really quiet, which would sort of be the same as being unfit, and you start questioning what you're doing wrong, what's happening, do we need to try different things? And then all of a sudden you come out of that patch and you're busy and you sort of forget totally what it was like to not be there again. So when you're fit, you totally forget what it's like to be unfit or injured. You forget really easily. And probably the business has helped me more with the running, just to have faith that it is all a roller coaster. And if you're quiet during one period, you're going to be busy again in another period. And just to not live and die by each day, almost, just to not get worked up one way or the other. If you're going well, don't go overboard with your celebrations. If you're going poorly, don't start getting really down on yourself and changing things dramatically. Just sort of trust the process and be consistent. Know that you're doing the right things, and success will come because of it.
Good answer. Ali, as a physio, career-wise?
Running's probably a very simple way of showing that what you put in is what you get out. It's a very it's the kind of sport where basically, I mean, there's obviously overtraining, but basically if you train hard, then long term you're going to get the results. And I think that's like any career really. If you put time and effort into it, then as time goes on, you're going to be better at what you do. So. To be honest, for me, probably the more I run, the less effort I put into work, mostly just because I'm not one of those people that's really good at going all in on multiple different areas of my life. I'm probably a little more all in on one area at a time. So, yeah, I don't know that it's necessarily helped my career, but it's certainly taught me, like I've seen with my own running and also with people that I coach, that, yeah, just putting in the time and effort over a long period of time is where the results come from. And I guess from a physio point of view as well, I've probably learnt a lot about load on different parts of the body with different types of running, and learned a lot more about running injuries as well, just basically through my experiences as a runner and the experiences of the people around me. Yeah,
and someone who's got like running as a bit of a career as well, not just not like us fellas who just try to win $500 at Bendigo once a year.
It's definitely the area now that I focus most of my energy and attention to. And, yeah, hopefully one day it is my only career. But I don't mind keeping a little bit of physio going, because I think I could very easily become, yeah, maybe just too involved in running. So it's probably good for me to try and still do other things as well.
Yeah. I just jotted a few things down. I think you guys will agree with me, but I always think running's helped me become resilient in my like career, my teaching career. Like, it's just, as you said, Moose, like you go through those ebbs and flows and the ups and downs. And I don't know, like you just do it so often with running for when you go and do it at work. It's just, I don't know, it feels like sometimes it's not as hard as running. Like, and you're so used to just getting up and getting through the training that you kind of take that same mentality into work sometimes. I'm sure that runners would have way less sick days than people that didn't run or exercise pretty regularly. I just think it just makes resilient, rounded people, and they can get through their work easier. And I don't know, maybe like less whingy and stuff like that. Maybe it depends on how serious you take your running. That could be a bad thing at times though, because like running, we kind of push through when we should be resting at times. Like, there should have been days where I've had sick days, but you just kind of rock up to work with that similar running mentality that you just kind of push through and string the days together when you actually should be having a bit of a rest. I also put down, it's helped me with like ambition and like goal setting and stuff in work, and especially with kids and teaching, like looking at student data, like using the student data. And I'm not sure if you guys know what like NAPLAN is, like when they do that standardized tests and then you get results. And I love looking through like that student data, like I look through like Strava data and set goals for kids like you kind of would with your running and your training program and things like that. I also put like handling pressure. I think being an athlete and being in races and high stressful situations sometimes make it easier to rock up to stressful situations in your work and maybe compared to the running stuff. And like you get that physical stress, of course, with running as well, but sometimes that anxiety or like nervousness you have before a race, it just, I don't know, it makes standing up in front of an assembly or doing parent-teacher interviews or whatever it is with school easy, because you're used to that kind of high stress with races as well. And then I just put like routine. I reckon running like teaches you an awesome routine that then can carry over into your career or workplace. There you go, Sam. Yeah. I did a bit of preparation for that one.
You sounded a bit more well prepared than Jules and I. Yeah. Definitely is something that, yeah, it can help you in a lot of different areas of life, can't it? Not just work, but
yeah, heaps of different areas. It's good sport to be involved in like that, I reckon. Moose, anything else to add there? Just zoned out with my answer.
What?
I do think that people have to be a little bit careful of with running, though, is I don't know, I think Jules and I were actually talking about this the other day. It can sometimes encourage those perfectionist tendencies a little too much, where you become, yeah, so used to doing everything, trying to do everything right for your running and you know, training as hard as you can and doing all of that, that sometimes you can become a little too much like that in all areas of life. And I think that's where people just have to be probably a little bit careful.
I think that sometimes when you hear about these people on like massive long run streaks and you're like, when is that becoming an obsession now and it's actually good for your body to take a down whole week where you don't run?
Mm, yeah, run streaks, like, I mean, they're just something that people do. And really, the person doing it is never going to go to the Olympics if they're doing a run streak. So they just do what, like, again, it's just step back and go, this guy's running because he wants to run. And if it's going to be for a run streak, whatever. He gets injured, who cares? It's not like he's ruining his life by it.
True.
Yeah.
Moose on the loose, purchase of the week.
Look, beach running.
Oh, beach. I feel, yeah, that one did get me. It didn't just get me angry, Ali. It made everybody angry. That's where you're not understanding. You think, ah, it's fine. We'll just run along this shit beach. Six people got injured today. I know that six, they all their knees, hips, shin, ankle. We're going to have a broken group after today's run.
Isn't you're saying, though, the group does what the best runner in the group does, though?
No, the loop master makes the loop. The loop master. So if someone's given the responsibility, and I was putting my hand up for it, and Ali had said, no, I'll do it. I'm like, are you sure? She said, yeah, I'll do it. And then took us on this fucking bullshit loop. The loop would have been precious. If we went up a road and skipped the beach, it would have actually been quite a good loop. I would have paid.
Oh, it was a really good loop aside from the beach. You've got to admit that.
It was a good loop aside from the beach, which made it a bad loop.
Mm. Did you see what I called my run, Brady?
Yeah. It didn't have that whinging when you're up here in a Chuka Moama the other week, did you, Ali?
No.
Just head down.
Lots of positivity up there.
Yeah, a lot of positivity.
You go for a run on the beach?
No, we're not. Yeah, we went past Moama Beach, I think. You could probably see it over the river at one stage.
You didn't run on it? You didn't go for a run in the sand?
No one was complaining about the surfaces.
We couldn't get over the bridge. There was police on the bridge. We couldn't run over it. It was closed at that time for Ali because she's not in the border bubble. Couldn't take her down there.
You could have taken her through, like, some paddocks or something where the footing was terrible. Took that would have been good.
Through the port of Echuca. It was a bit sandy through there. It's a bit beachy.
Yeah, Jules wouldn't have liked that.
Nah, I can imagine. Anyway, you got a real moose on the loose, or that's it?
Oh, that annoys me enough. Without getting too into it, there was some people that ignored me on a run twice this week in the local town that I actually had run with before within the last month. Looked the other way. So maybe this is a personal thing, Ali. Ali and I just don't get much love from the local community. Maybe everyone else says hello except for us. They just say hello to everybody else, but we cop it. Because that did annoy me. I laughed at the time, but then I forgot back. The more I stewed on it, the more angry I got.
Rightio. What's coming up in your life, Ali? Bendigo.
5K. Bendigo 5K Friday. Yep.
What's she going to run, coach?
1540.
Okay.
If there's someone there with her, 1540, and she doesn't get too scared early to go with that pace.
Yeah, I know someone who's going to run between probably 1530 and 1535. Might kick it home a bit, but he'll be there with her.
Well,
I think that's a bit beyond me at the moment, to be honest.
1550.
Yeah, I'll be happy with. I need to break 16 minutes. I've never actually properly broken 16 minutes in a 5K.
1540, she'll run.
I love that on your IWF profile. It's going to be like all these international races for all your PBs, and then it's going to be like Bendigo 5K.
Yeah, so it's going to be legit. It's going to go to the World Athletics.
Yeah, it's legit. Yep. Sanctioned.
That means we have to wear shoes and everything.
Oh yeah. Yep. What's the shoe rule?
Yep. Shoe. What? I think they're making the rule: if you're in the fastest heat, you must have them on. If you're in another heat and going to qualify for prize money, you got to have them on.
Yeah.
Because it'd be a B mixed grade race, but that will have the fast women.
So.
Yeah.
Ali could be next to some guy who's wearing Next Percent.
Yeah, got you.
That's okay.
That's okay, yeah, because he's not winning prize money in that heat, but you are.
Yeah, I'm glad they're enforcing it. I'm sick of places not enforcing the rule. I'm do it or don't.
Yeah, and if you want to be a legit meet, you've got to play by the rules. I'm with you, Ali. I agree. I think we spoke about this when you were up here.
Why are making a rule if it's not then going to be enforced?
Yeah, 100%.
But it does. What about if it's like if the rule starts to alienate the community?
Yeah, I get that. I actually think it's a stupid rule, to be honest. I don't agree with it because I don't really think it it's much of a performance benefit on the track anyway. But I just think if you're going to make it, then it should be enforced. Otherwise, don't make it at all.
But you think that, say, Bendigo Athletics, right? They're doing a great thing for the sport with this event. If they rock up and go, no, not allowed to run, you've got your Kayanos on, not allowed to run, you've got your New Balance 880s on, not allowed, oh, you've got shoes, those Nike Streaks are 1 millimetre too high, get off, you're not allowed. That's essentially what they are doing if they enforce that rule to the letter of the law, and that's not going to be good for their local community.
Well, no, I mean enforce it. So they're enforcing it so that you're not eligible for prize money or you have an asterisk if you don't wear them.
Yeah.
But I don't care if people run on the track in them, but if you're competing for prizes or qualifying using those times, then you should have to wear them. I know what you mean. With participation, it's important that people can still wear, you know, high stack shoes or training shoes or whatever. But
there's no performance benefit to wearing a pair of Asics Kayanos on the track. I can tell you right now.
I know.
Like,
but the person wearing Asics Kayanos on the track probably isn't going for the win or trying to qualify for.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's happening. Moose, what else are you doing before going to Bendigo? Anything? Selling shoes?
Actually, no. I've got a voucher for Christmas to go down to the Royal Mail in Dunkeld. So after work knocks off on Wednesday.
The what? Where are you going?
The Royal Mail down in Dunkeld. It's like a famous kind of pub.
Huh.
You've been to Dunkeld? No, it's a beautiful place. And so we're going to head down there for an evening just on the Thursday night before the race.
Oh, geez, don't tip in too many beers at dinner.
Yeah, I know. It's a long dinner too. It's like one of those, I think it's a degustation type menu. It's like 8 courses or something. You're there for 6 hours. They do that for like, so you're like, buy a ton of piss. But, yeah.
You'll be rolling around the track on Friday.
They don't give you enough. That's the problem. We all know this. It's like a little taste here and a little taste there.
Nearly.
We'll see.
Is that where it is? Is this where you had a fun run? You had a race in somewhere down there, didn't you?
It's the southern Grampians. It's at the very base of the Grampians. It's a fantastic town.
All right. We're done, guys. Thanks for filling in,
Ali. What are you doing? You didn't tell us what you were doing.
I'm going to Ocean Grove, actually. That's why we're recording this on a Sunday. Going to go down there for a couple of nights. Might jump on the track with you. My family's hired a house down there. Was meant to go out with Brad, but couldn't go north, so I'm going south instead. What workout is doing on Tuesday?
I'll tell you.
Might come and make my presence felt. Kick a few reps down. Yeah, what's
Ali's got 2K at 80 second laps, which is 320s, I think. 400 jog, 1200 at 78s, which is 315s. 400 jog, 2 800s at 76s, which is 310. 60 seconds standing rest between those two. Then 400 jog, then 4 by 300 at 52s with 200 jog.
Oh, yeah? I might do that. What are you doing, Moose?
Just
read out your programs for each other.
No, you're away on Tuesday, aren't you, Jules?
Yeah, well, I'm in Ballarat, so I'm doing... I'll try to get to the track for this. I'm not sure whether I will, but we'll see. 2K at 310, 90-second rest. 3 by 2 minutes at 255 with a minute rest, and then 4 by 300 hard. You've really copied what I've written and and just written my own.
This is what happens,
Brady. I find like a lot of copy-paste from her own program.
Well, you found that on Strava, haven't you?
This is actually funny because... I actually haven't done that, but it's very similar to what you've given me.
Oh, well.
So I've given you 2 minute reps and then, yeah.
Run strong philosophy is strong, isn't it?
You guys do AM or PM though?
But yeah, come
in the morning.
Come join us, Brady. Tuesday morning at the moment because all the school teachers are on holidays. And then, we'll be easy running on Wednesday.
I see the temperature's been to be like 18 or something on Tuesday.
For a jog.
Just typical beach weather.
Really? It's going to be 39 tomorrow.
Yeah, actually, I think we're coming. Yeah, we are coming tomorrow.
When are you coming down?
We'll be in the car all day.
I think it's going to be warm again on Wednesday, 33. So you'll get a few good days.
Oh, yeah, I might do that. It's all close to each other, isn't it? Like, you pretty much could throw a rock from Torquay to Ocean Grove. They're all the same town.
Talking in Ocean Grove for like 25 minutes.
That's going to be 32 at Ocean Grove tomorrow. A bit of mayo on that story, Ali. You can't just add 7 degrees to temperatures.
Huh. I thought it was 39.
We look at
Albury
temperatures and say that's
what all right, we're just jabbering on here. See you guys. Thanks for filling in again, Ali. Thanks, listeners, for downloading the show. See us next week.
No worries.
Right, we're done.
See you, Brady.
See ya.
If you're white or black, just show love to everyone you meet. Doesn't matter if it don't come back. Under the